turn to Mark chapter 10 in your Bibles this afternoon. Mark chapter 10, we're going to finish chapter 10 this afternoon, and then we're going to take a break from the book of Mark, actually, for a little while. And thankful for how far the Lord has gotten us through so far already, and through the Gospel of Mark. And it's been an encouragement to me. I hope it has been to you too. Just seeing the heart of Jesus, and we're going to continue to see that today, starting next week and over the next 4 weeks. Lord willing, we'll be going through the book of Jonah, and there's lots there for us to learn. And so, just looking forward to that opportunity. But Mark chapter 10 here this afternoon, and we're going to be talking about mercy today. What is mercy? It's a bit of a difficult thing to narrow down, especially when you consider what God's word has to say about what the scriptures say. And what they tell us of God himself is that God is rich in mercy. And knowing this leads us to understand really how central mercy is to God's nature and character. C.H. Spurgeon said this: God's mercy is so great. You may sooner drain the sea of its water, or deprive the sun of its light, or make space too narrow, than diminish the great mercy of God. God is full of and rich in mercy. Now, we define mercy this way. Mercy is kindness. Mercy is compassion. It's tenderheartedness, generosity. It's also forgiveness. And I'm sure a certain of you have heard this before. Mercy is not getting what you should be getting. It's not getting what you deserve. What you deserve is held back out of mercy. For example, when someone commits a crime, we know this, they have to pay. There's a punishment for that crime. That's their due reward. Their punishment could be jail time. It could be community service. It could be whatever the legal system sees fit. But if someone commits a crime and they receive mercy, this means that their punishment for committing said crime is much different. It may mean that their sentence is reduced, or they may not be any sentence at all. It simply won't be as big of a punishment as it could or maybe should be. That's mercy. So when it comes to God being abundant and full of mercy, that helps us to understand the implications of what it really brings forth, doesn't it? Because his mercy, God's mercy, helps us to see who he is. It helps us to see how he cares. And also, simply what we are. And what we are is totally undeserving. Undeserving of God's mercy. Today in our text, in a moment here, we're going to read through Mark 10, verse 46 to 52. But in those verses, we're going to see a man, and his name is Bartimaeus. And Bartimaeus is going to ask for something from Jesus. He's going to ask for mercy. And to be honest, he doesn't just ask, he literally begs for it. I want those words to be ingrained in your mind throughout the entire time that we're in the Word. And every time from here on that you hear the name of Bartimaeus, if you do, that's not a very common name, I get that. I know some of you are like, hey, maybe that's our next kid's name. I don't know. Maybe it is. But I want you to think of these words. Just what he said to Jesus. And pleading to him, he said, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. That is a plea for compassion due to his situation, which we'll get into in a moment. But his situation is not a great situation. It's a plea, but also an admittance. It's him acknowledging just how much he realizes that he needs Jesus. He needs Jesus above anyone or anything else. Sound familiar? And through this plea, he is also expressing he knows this. He knows he needs Jesus alone. This heart that he has, this is the heart that you and I deeply need. And having this heart will lead us to long for Christ, to long for Christ's mercy, as Bartimaeus did. I want to encourage you to long for Christ and long for Christ's mercy in your life today. Let's look at God's word. Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 46. Here's what the word says. And they came to Jericho. And as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and said, call him. And they called the blind man, saying to him, take heart, get up, he's calling you. And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabbi, let me recover my sight. And Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. Here's what we're seeing here this afternoon. When I long for Christ's abundant mercy, I will first of all seek him relentlessly. I will seek him relentlessly. And that's exactly what Bartimaeus did, and did he ever? And I believe that he did because he had to. Not only because of the crowd that was around him, not only because of the rebuke that he had from the crowd, but I believe that he did the way that he did because of his lostness. He had to be relentless, maybe even more than some others would have had to. You can consider his physical limitations, or maybe his lack of positional status within the society, within the community. Now, just to get into the setting of what's happening here, we saw last week how Jesus is continuing to go from place to place as he's preaching the gospel, and that he was heading towards Jerusalem. And along that way, he passed through Jericho, and as he's traveling, he's got the same people that he usually has around him. He has his disciples that are with him, and then he also has a great crowd, the Bible tells us. People were curious about Jesus. People were taken up by Jesus. And yet, in spite of that, it's a blind beggar that stood out. As soon as they leave Jericho, this is where Jesus meets Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus, the Bible tells us, is sitting by the roadside. As the traffic of people is just coming by him, He's sitting there, as we understand, in the midst of the crowd because he's a beggar. And beggars, that means most likely like Bartimaeus, in most cases, they have no home. They have nowhere to go. They have no one to turn to. They have no job. And it's true for even those that are beggars today, your best chance of getting something is to place yourself in an area where there's a great concentration of people, a lot of traffic. And that's where they find Bartimaeus. They place themselves there in hopes that maybe they can gain pity from someone. And they'll be able to get some food or get some money or even have someone offer them shelter. And beggars do this because they have nothing. They're just that. They're beggars. And the Bible tells us not only that Bartimaeus is a beggar, but they also come to find out that he's also blind. That's two strikes against him. He's a beggar and he's blind. And so now the picture's coming together. We're beginning to understand the entirety of Bartimaeus' situation. Chances are, it's not that Bartimaeus won't work, but that he can't. No one would hire him because he's blind. He's unable to see. The jobs that he could fulfill would be very limited. And especially more in those days than it would be today. His best option might have been to do what he was just doing there, being a beggar on the streets. So again, as we understand it, this is not a great situation, is it? It's not a situation that most of us would envy. And we have to yet see ourselves in Bartimaeus, in this blind beggar. In this, we see the reality of our situation as well. Because though he was blind physically and poor materially on this earth, we also understand, spiritually speaking, that before Christ and without Christ, we are also blind and poor. We're lost, just like him. And early on here, we see that Bartimaeus understands his situation very well. In his response, which we'll dig into here in a moment, we see that he knew that without Christ, he was doomed in this life and damned for eternity. And I wonder if there's anyone here in this room. Do you understand your situation without Christ? Where you truly stand, do you understand that you need Jesus to give you sight, to save you from your sins? And by the way, there's many people that we read of during Jesus' earthly ministry that he encounters, and we don't know what their names are. But for some reason, Mark decides to make it known to us what this blind beggar's name is. I find that interesting. We're not given a reason as to why he names Bartimaeus. He even names his father, the son of Timaeus. Maybe he's known within the crowd of people there, and so it just made sense to add his name in there. I don't know. We're not given a reason as to why his name is revealed to us, but I find that intriguing. It's intriguing, especially as we see he's a very unimportant part of the crowd of this society. No one else would have really bothered to really know Bartimaeus, to know who he was, but yet here we're given his name. I think that can stand as a simple reminder to us, if anything, that though certain people may not mean much to the world we live in today, certain people may not mean much to even us, everyone has value in the eyes of Jesus. And that's the truth. And his mercy is available to all who he calls to himself and all who will receive him. We're very different. We're often way more concerned about ourselves and about our situations than we are about others, especially being concerned about people that we don't know. That doesn't come to us naturally, people that we don't have a direct connection with. In most cases, we might feel some sympathy, but really, at the end of the day, we don't care. But Jesus cares about even the most marginalized in our surroundings. That can never be said of the human race. As much as we may try to show that we care, attempt to care about as many people as we can around us, there is always someone we really don't care about. There are always some who fall through the cracks. And we see the proof of this. It's right here in our text. Nobody cared about Bartimaeus. When he calls to Jesus, they rebuke him. Do you understand the harshness of the word rebuke? They weren't just like, just be quiet here, Bartimaeus. No, they were not kind to him at all. They wanted to stop him from calling out to Jesus, as if, by the way, Jesus wouldn't make time and have the time to spend with Bartimaeus, with people like him, as they might think. I want to tell you that I'm so thankful to God that he's different. That how we are in this is not true of him. He truly cares. It's simply different with Jesus. You know, this rebuke from the crowd, it caused Bartimaeus to have to make a choice. He's getting pushback on calling out to Jesus, and so the choice is this: give up or be obstinate. Not stubbornly obstinate, but determined. And that's what we see of him. Because he knows this: I need Jesus. I don't need these people. I don't need the crowd. I need Jesus. Some of them may have helped him a little bit. Some of them may have given him money or food at some point. But all that comes to an end. What he knew he needed was Jesus, because he knew what Jesus could do for him. And so he was determined. I'm going to do everything I can to get to him. He sought him relentlessly. And you know, how does he know what Jesus can do for him? How did he come to find that out? Well, notice how he addresses Jesus. Whether he heard it from someone else, or maybe he had heard Jesus teach and speak at another time, we don't know. But for some reason, we see Bartimaeus coming to the conclusion of who Jesus is, and we see it in how he addresses him. Twice he said this of Jesus. He called him Son of David. Now, if you don't understand the Bible, this may be a little odd to you. Son of David? David the king back in the Old Testament? That doesn't make a lot of sense. That was hundreds of years ago before Bartimaeus' time. Jesus can't be the son of David. Well, no, that's not what he's implying. What he's referring to, though, is that Jesus was, as we see in Matthew chapter 1 and the genealogy that's given to us, part of the lineage of David, one of his descendants. And so what does that mean, son of David? It's an obvious reference to Jesus' messiahship. Right away, from the get-go, Bartimaeus is acknowledging, I know who you are. You are Jesus, the Son of David, the Messiah. He's declaring his faith in Jesus. He sees him as he is, the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy, the Messiah that they'd been waiting for, who would come and establish a kingdom, not an earthly kingdom, but a kingdom that would last forever. Just like God promised, and just as he promised even to David in his covenant with him in 1 Samuel 12. And so it begs the question, how does a blind beggar know who Jesus is? How did he know? And to be honest with you, I'm asking you this question, but I don't have the answer. I don't know. I don't know how he knows this, but I see that he does. He, a blind beggar, knows who Jesus is. There's so many others that didn't have the opportunity, that had the opportunity to see Jesus at work, to hear him teach, to hear him preach, to see his miracles, and yet they rejected Jesus. But a man who is blind, he sees him. And that's astounding to me. That shows the power of God reaching into the hearts of those that are lost and desire him. It proves once again that Jesus doesn't make it hard to reveal himself and for others, for people to come and see who he is, to receive him as Savior. He doesn't make it hard for people to find the truth about him, because he makes it so that even a blind man can see who Jesus is. But many others that Jesus encountered, that we read of so far through Mark all the way to the end of Mark 10, many of them weren't blind physically, but they were spiritually hardened, though. And though they may not have been blind physically, it caused them, because of their hardness of heart, to willfully reject Jesus. You know, there's a lot of people in this world that say they believe in God. I always want to ask them, what does that mean? What God have you made up in your mind that you believe in? Because if it's not the God of the Bible, then we got a problem. But beyond that, there's a lot of people today that are actually searching and they want to know more about Jesus. They see him as this great teacher. They see him as a historian. They know the evidence is there. It's proof Jesus existed. And so they accept him as that. But to accept him as Messiah, Savior, God, well, that might be pushing the envelope a little bit for them. But that's exactly who Christ is. He is God. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior. And notice what Bartimaeus' acknowledgement of Christ led him to, caused him to do. When he heard and realized the Messiah was standing before him, it caused him to cry out to him. It's as if he couldn't even help himself. He cried out for help. Have mercy on me, Jesus, Son of David. And even when they try to shut him up, he cries out even more and even louder. Have mercy on me, Jesus, Son of David. You know, this man has nothing going his way. Not one thing. And he knows it. He's not oblivious to that. Yet when he sees Jesus, he does the only thing he can do. And it's turn to him. To turn to Jesus and crying out for help. Ignoring the voices, ignoring the noises, he cries out to Jesus. as if his life depended on it. And can I tell you this? His life did depend on it. And it does for us as well. Our life depends on Jesus, on seeing Christ for who he is. That we should seek him relentlessly, because without him, we are doomed for eternity. Condemned to an eternal fire, a torment, separated from God forever. But without Christ, even in this life, not only in eternity, but also in this life, without him, we're in trouble as well. There should be more of us crying out to Jesus. Yes, for salvation, but also for deliverance in our deepest need. We should be crying out to Jesus, seeing he's full of mercy, even towards us who deserve anything but his mercy. Let's look at the second thing. When I long for Christ's abundant mercy, I will seek him relentlessly. Number two, trust him completely. You ever been in one of those moments where you felt like everything just kind of slowed down around you? And then you noticed that everything felt like it was kind of slowing down. You're just taking everything in and you're like, whoa, this is different. I look at our text and I see the unfolding of the situation. And I see some of that as well. This is what I imagine that took place here. Bartimaeus is yelling out for mercy. There's a crowd that's trying to stop him. And it gets so loud, so ruckus, really, that it brings Jesus to stop. That's exactly what the Bible tells us. Jesus stopped as he's calling out to him, as the people are telling him to be quiet. And then Jesus said to his disciples, or to those that were in the crowd there, speaking of Bartimaeus, pointing to him, he tells them some of the most wonderful words you can ever hear from Jesus. Call him. In other words, bring him to me. Let him through. And all that they can say there in that moment, as Jesus says, call him, though they were stopping him, though they were trying to rebuke him, they have to let him through. All right, Bartimaeus, you win. You wanted to go see Jesus. Get up. Go see him. The Bible tells us that Bartimaeus was so thrilled to go to Jesus, to be in his presence, that he took his coat off of him and threw it down. I don't know if he thought that was going to weigh him down or that was going to be in his way as he's trying to make his way to Jesus. I don't know what it means. But he took his coat, he threw it down, and then he jumped up to go see him. What we're really seeing is that he's coming to Jesus with absolutely nothing. I'm poor, I'm blind, and now I don't even have a coat on me. I'm coming as I am, with nothing, to Jesus, truly in faith. You know, a lot of us, we struggle with this, to come to Jesus and to do so in faith. You know, as humans, we often convince ourselves of so many different lies because we listen to the noise. We let those things distract us. You know, they always say don't ask what-if questions, but I'm going to ask a what-if question. What if he didn't cry out to Jesus the second time? But he did. He had faith in Jesus. So I want to encourage you, don't listen to the noise, don't listen to the lies, don't listen to the rebukes, just trust Jesus. Even for us who know Jesus as our Savior, that whether it's through the good times or when we're in distress, when we're hurting, when things are difficult, we need to be cautious not to be deceived, to believe lies like, I don't need anyone's help. You know how many times people have said that to themselves? I don't need anyone's help. Guess what? When you say that, that means you actually need help. Or what about this? I've heard it so many times, and it weighs on you. When people genuinely come to you saying, my situation can't be fixed. That's a lie. You just need to come to Jesus and trust him. Bartimaeus ignored all of that. He came full of faith to Jesus, ready to receive what Christ had for him. And he would finally hear those words that he'd been waiting for from Jesus. Your faith has made you well. That's all he wanted. To be made well. That's all he needed. He trusted in Jesus completely. And of course, we see that it was his sight that was restored. We also know that this means to say that he was saved, that he received new life, that he was once blind, but now he could see that he had received the amazing grace of Jesus in his life. He was now a child of God. I don't think you should miss this either, by the way. Jesus asked him what he needed. Remember, we saw this last week. Those two disciples that are going to Jesus and say, hey, Jesus, we want something from you. He says, what do you want me to do for you? The exact same question is asked by Jesus to Bartimaeus. What can I do for you? And his response is so important. Bartimaeus knew exactly what he needed. He needed salvation. He needed restoration from blindness to sight. But Bartimaeus had other problems too, didn't he? He was poor. He was a beggar. Probably didn't have a lot of people around him. And I can guarantee you this, Bartimaeus probably wanted those issues fixed too. But what he asked for was that his sight would be restored. To gain sight was more valuable. And it had everything to do with him actually seeing Jesus and receiving Jesus as Savior and Redeemer. There are so many that miss the eternal because their desires, their heart, and their attention is set on temporal. He could have asked for money, but that wouldn't have lasted. He asked for something much more valuable, for sight, for life. A lot of people struggle with Jesus because they think they can just get whatever they want from him in the now. But that's way off the mark. It's very short-sighted. Money won't bring you happiness or fix your problems. A better status amongst your peers isn't what's going to satisfy you. A different life is not going to make things easier for you. And you know why? Because you're the problem. You and I are the problem. Our sin is the problem. It's not our situation. What we needed from Jesus is the same thing that Bartimaeus needed. He needed healing. He needed a miracle. and we're quick to want a desire. We're quick to want or desire a miracle, and yet so quick to toss aside the miracle worker himself. And that just won't work. It won't work. It won't do. Because either you trust Jesus or you don't. That's it. We are all beggars before a great God. And there's some things that beggars are good at. You've probably noticed it. They know how to ask for help. They know who to ask for help from. And they know what to ask for. And can I tell you this? We're beggars too, and so the same goes for us. We know what we need. We know who to go to. And we know how to ask, and it's in faith. In faith, Jesus alone. Tim Keller said this, putting our faith in Christ is not about trying harder. It means transferring our trust away from ourselves and resting in him. What a cool thing to consider that Jesus restored Bartimaeus' sight. And we don't know how long he had been blind, maybe even from birth, but that the first thing he was able to set his eyes on, the first thing that he saw visibly was Jesus. He saw the face of the Son of God, the one that he was seeking, the one that he had trusted in, the one who healed him. He saw the one, he saw Jesus. He got to see who he was looking for all this time. And he had found him. I wonder, what are you looking for today? Because if you're looking for what, you've already missed it. It's not a what that you need, it's a who. It's Jesus. You need the one who desires to and has the power to transform your life. And so rest your faith in him completely. Here's the third thing. When I long for Christ's abundant mercy, I will seek him relentlessly, trust him completely, follow him passionately. And that's what we see how this story ends. It's beautiful, really. Jesus heals him. And then he tells Bartimaeus, go your way. And the verse in verse 52 ends by telling us that Bartimaeus' immediate reaction when he recovered his sight, he followed him on the way. He followed Jesus. Now that he was restored, now that he had gained his sight and received sight, now that he was saved, his way was no longer his way. The old way was no longer the way for him. His way was Jesus. His way was the way of Jesus. The way he would go was to follow Jesus all along the way. Jesus said this in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and notice this, and they follow me. Why is that? Because like Bartimaeus, when you know Jesus, you've come to know and experience his abundant mercy. And when you, from that day that you heard him call you, when you see how he knows you, how he cares for you, you can't help but follow him. And so as you continue forward in this life, will you continue to follow him? Because I'll tell you this, you'll continue to need him. That's true for all of us. You want to say, well, why should I follow Jesus? Because you'll never not need Jesus. And so you better stay in his presence. Better stay in his presence ready to beg when you need him again. You better be ready to continue to trust him. You better continue to draw near to him, to follow him, and to live this life with him passionately. You know, here at Harvest, that's one of our four W's. You might be familiar with them. We want to encourage every believer, follower of Jesus, to worship Christ, to work for Christ, and to witness for Christ. But all the while you're doing this, you are walking with Christ. That's what it means to follow him. And you might be wondering, well, what does that look like? How do I walk with Jesus? Number one, spend time in the Word. Number two, spend time with him in prayer. Number three, gather together with the community believers that he has placed you in. Surround yourself with other believers who live having that same goal as you. That's why we have life groups. That's why we encourage everyone to get plugged into the community of the church. And life groups is a way to do that. Because we need one another. Now, here's the struggle that many of us face. We want Jesus. We got Jesus. We love Jesus. But to follow him unreservedly, to follow him passionately, we understand this. It takes work, it takes effort, it takes devotion, and that's true. If you're going to get in the Word, it takes a conscious effort to say, I'm going to spend time in the Word right now. And it's the same as well when you're going to pray. It's the same as well when you choose to surround yourself with the community of believers in your church or in your life group. Now, I know what a lot of us think, though. Here's where we go. I heard this line years ago. I think it was on a news clip or something, and it kind of stuck with me, but just a person explaining, you know, they had no time to get out of this house for some reason. And they said this, ain't nobody got time for that. It sticks with me. I do the same thing, too. I don't know if I have the time to spend in God's word today. I got to get to work. I got to do these things. I've got a schedule to follow. And praying and spending time with Jesus in prayer, let alone life group. I'm in a life group, but I'll tell you what, I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I feel like there's other things that should take precedence over that. Can I be honest with you? I'm wrong. It's so important and so valuable. And we can't believe those lies. We can't be deceived. Those things are important. Word, spending time in prayer, the community that God has placed us in, they're all things, they're all avenues that Christ has given to us. He's provided for us. If we say that we don't have time for these things, it's not because of a lack of time, but it's because of a lack of devotion and desire for him. Because he gave them to us. So unless you're going to put the effort in to follow Jesus, can I tell this, you're always going to struggle in that W, walking with Christ. That's a guarantee. Bartimaeus could have found many other things to do. Listen, he was blind before this. Now he can see. There's so many things to see. There's so many things to do. And yet his choice was not leisure. It wasn't entertainment. It wasn't even a job now that he could work. He chose Jesus. That means whatever other plans he might have had, if he dreamed, hey, if I could see again one day, whatever the desires he might have had, those all took a back seat. He chose Jesus, and notice the Bible tells us that his choice was immediate. Immediately, he recovered his sight and followed Jesus on the way. It wasn't even a question in his mind. Christian, what about you? What about me? Are we going to put God first? I wonder what's causing you to hesitate on that. I think many in this room claim to long for Jesus and long for his mercy, and yet we hesitate. What's stopping us? We need Jesus. When you truly long for Christ's abundant mercy in your life, you will seek him relentlessly, trust him completely, and follow him passionately. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you here now in this time, saying with our words, but Lord, may it be true from our hearts, how we long for you. We need you and we plead for your mercy. Lord, we may not have the same kind of situation that a man like Bartimaeus did, but certainly there's a time where we were lost. We could not see. And we needed you to give us sight, to give us life. And now yet there's so many of us that are choosing moment by moment, day by day, to live in the old way rather than yielding to you and following you. Lord, I pray that you help us. For without you, we truly are lost. Help us, Lord, to commit our way to you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.